All right. Thank you very much for your patience with us. We're going to start our board meeting today. It's 5:02. We are meeting at the Logan City School District office. The Board of Education met earlier today at 12:30. We did our board visit at Logan High. Had a great time meeting with our principal, Ken Ault, over there, who introduced us to the new student body officers for next school year. We had a chance to meet each of them and to understand they've changed their constitution, so their elections are a little different. It was great to meet with them, and they asked questions of us, and we asked questions of them, and we look forward to a very exciting year at Logan High with their new student body officers. It was a great visit at Logan High. Following that, we had a board walkthrough at Logan High. We went toward the school, the construction, to see the progress of the building, and had a wonderful time meeting with our architect and our lead for our construction company, and had some opportunity to be able to view the school and to see the progress. And now it's, as I said, it's just after 5 o'clock for our regular meeting. We'd like to excuse our choir director, Melody Francis. She's come down with a terrible sickness today, so she will not be here to perform the choir performance that she had planned, so we excuse her at this time, and we look forward to having her come in the future. With that said, I would like to ask, on the spur of the moment, my good friend Shanna Longhurst to come up and please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, since you're in the back. Last time I threw somebody else under the bus, and today it's you. So if you'll please lead us in the pledge, that would be great.
I think you should sing the national anthem.
I think so, too. Sing away.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Shanna. She's probably shocked to do that, as well as my comment that she's my really good friend. I'm not sure anybody wants to be my really good friend, so I appreciate that. The director should probably always be aware that that may come at any moment. So we're going to start today with our informational items, and Becca Crookston is here, and she'll start us off with a report from our PTA Association. President Crookston.
So we have a meeting on Thursday. That's our council board meeting. That we have visitors from the state PTA coming up, the PTA president, and the, if I remember her title, leadership person, commissioner. I was going to say counselor, and I'm like, that's not it. Are going to come up, and they're going to talk about, several things, but a lot about the upcoming convention, that the training that they provide. So we're going to get hopefully some of our locals to be able to go down to that and have that training. So we're excited to have them come up. Today I brought, well, she came on her own, but Shauna from Ellis. Yep.
Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Shauna Allison. I'm the PTA president at Ellis Elementary. And I just wanted to share with you a few things tonight that we've been doing this year that are new that we've done. We have started a creative writing contest this year within our school, and it's for the top three winners in each grade get a prize. And it was just a contest that was silly and fun. They could be very imaginative, write whatever they chose to write about. We kicked it off during Dr. Seuss's birthday, and so a lot of the kids wrote stories that were in the style of Dr. Seuss, and they were really, really cute. We had some really good ones, and I should have copied them and brought some. You could have seen them. But they were really a lot of fun to do. The kids had a great time doing that because they enjoyed being silly for a change with their writing. And then another thing we're working on is along with the Heritage Night that will be at Ellis this year, which is April 27th at 6 o'clock, I believe, and we have food vendors coming in for that, and that's the Community Council doing that. But the PTA is going to be doing the carnival that the kids earned with their fundraiser. And so to kind of stay with a theme, we're going to do carnival games from around the world, so that kids can see games that are played in other cultures and other countries. And then the other thing we did that has been a lot of fun for the families this year, as I'm sure you're well aware of the demographic that we're in, our students, we've done free family movie nights where we have done popcorn and treats all free for the kids, everything, and they get to watch a movie. The school agreed to let us use their copyright. Since we weren't charging, they would be the ones to promote the movie so that we could use their copyright, and then the PTA would come in then and provide the treats and the parents there to help and stuff. And it's been a lot of fun. So we've done a lot of fun things this year on top of our other fun things. So do you have any questions or concerns? Moves, we do them in the cafeteria. And we just, if they want to bring their own chairs from home, they can do that and line along the walls. And the kids just bring their blankets and pillows and sit on the floor and watch the movie. So it's been a lot of fun. And we've had a really good turnout. We don't even have 400 students in our school, but our turnout, we've had over 200 every time we've done it. So it's been pretty fun.
You just choose like a children's movie?
Mm-hmm. We do. And we send flyers home letting them know that it's a free night. It's just to come and enjoy and have fun. There's no workshops that the parents have to go to, because that was a big thing for them. And they just come and watch a movie with their kids and have treats, and then they go home. It's been a lot of fun. So.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
What is your parent involvement then? Have you had a hard time keeping your PTA?
Parent involvement is a tough one.
And I know it has been
very tough.
A challenge at Ellis since I was there
for yeah.
the PTA.
Yes. And we're going to try and stress that, because we are still even looking for a president for next year. My youngest one will be moving to the middle school, and I won't be there anymore. And we are having a hard time, and we're going to try and stress the things that will disappear without the PTA. I don't think they realize everything that we're involved with and do. And so we've been trying to get the word out that a lot of these events that they think it's the school's responsibility to do is actually the parents' responsibility. At the school, the teachers don't have the time to for a lot of these things, so I think that they have been misled that it's the school, and we're trying to get the word out that it is PTA and that we need more parent involvement, because it is very difficult there. I mean, I think we have 8 parents throughout the year who help, and it's the same 8 so year to year.
Thank you for being one of those.
Yeah,
I'm so glad Becca is doing it this way, bringing in the PTA presidents from the schools. It's hard work. Boy, thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, thank you. It's something I enjoy. I love to see the kids happy when they see me in the hall. It's kind of fun. They get excited, and it's good to feel that way, too. So they make my day, too. So.
Awesome. Thank you very much for all you do at Ellis, and we love that school, as do all of our schools in the district,
yes.
But we appreciate those PTA parents who think outside the box and really try to engage the community and bring parents into the school as much as we can. So
I know. I wish we could get more. Yeah. And we're working on it, though.
But you're getting the people that want to participate, so that's a good
thing. We are. It's nice. And I know we'll have one, you know, before the school year starts. I will find someone.
Shanghaied.
That's right. I kind of got Shanghaied into it, so, and it's been great.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we'll look forward to having you serve on the PTA at the middle school. So I'm sure Beck is trying to get you wrapped into the middle school, so they
maybe
need help
after
as well.
A year off, but after that.
No, you can't take a year off.
I know. But no, it's been fun. I do enjoy it, so
very
it's been a good
nice.
Thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for coming tonight to present to us.
Thank you.
Very nice. And let us know if there's ever anything that you do that you'd like board representation on. We'd love to attend any function that you have.
Oh, and we would love to have you for anything.
You'll just let Stacy or Becca can forward the information to us as well. That'd be great.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is that all, Becca? Okay. A report from our Logan Education Support Professionals. I don't see her or a representative from that organization. Report from our Logan Education Association, President Jeannie Papernick. I don't see her either. Does she have a representative here? She's not coming in. All right. A report from our Logan City School District Administrator Association, Jed Grunig, or a representative from that organization? All right. Okay, board members, we'll go to our consent calendar, which is minutes dated March 28th of 2017, an extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
There are no minutes in there that I could see. Am I missing them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they're in there.
All right,
there
I would like to, we will amend the consent calendar for today then to do just the extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
I move we accept it with those conditions.
All right. Connie's made the motion to accept that. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ann. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent calendar passes. All right. On to action items, which is action on raising school lunch prices for the 2017-18 school year. Our presenter will be Child Nutrition Manager Paul Guyman. Mr. Guyman.
As most of you probably heard from me in the past, we are required from the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010. There's a paid lunch equity provision of part of that, which requires us to raise our lunch prices on a periodic basis. We've been doing this for the last 4 years, every other year. This is the on year. We didn't raise lunch prices this last year.
Do you want to just kind of briefly describe that so that Jenny is caught up on what
that absolutely.
Is?
The Paid Lunch Equity Act, it is the USDA's way to ensure that the full paid prices are not subsidized by the free. And so they have given us a tiered mark, which is to do off of what it costs, what we get reimbursed federally, and then we have to periodically raise our rates to what the total price is, which is about $3.46. As you'll see, our lunch prices are nowhere near that because we've are able to do that about every other year. Like I said, this is the on year for that. Our current lunch prices are up here. Elementary currently pay $1.75, middle school and high school are at $2.10, and then that would propose increase would be 10 cents, which is the maximum and minimum amount that the USDA requires us to raise is in 10 cent increments. That's why we do it in 10 cents. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it at all, or we would do 5, but that's what's required. One thing that they do not monitor us on is free breakfast. That's something that we started when we started doing the paid lunch equity to help offset some of the costs to our parents that we're able to offer free breakfast. Breakfast does not have any income requirements as far as from the USDA of what breakfast has to be charged for. And so we will continue to offer free breakfast for all of our students K to 12. With South Campus moving over to Logan High School, South Campus students, which will be now Logan High students, they will also be able to have the free breakfast, which South Campus presently, they do have to go to Logan High because South Campus doesn't do a breakfast. We don't have staffing for that. Reduced prices will remain at 40 cents per meal. Adult prices will remain at $3.50, and middle school and high school students that choose to have a second lunch, meaning that they go through the line, they want another meal, their meal would be $3.50, which is continued to be the same. So that is all my info I have. Do you have any questions?
So how many students are you feeding nowadays in schools? Do you have that information? I just wonder. It is, but I haven't pulled it over because Dave told me not to. Do you have that information?
How many students were feeding at
say, the middle school, the high school, and?
I don't have that with me. It was a ballpark. We serve at the high school. We serve about 800 to 900 a day. The middle school is closer to 1,000 a day. This is lunches. And then the elementaries, we hover around feeding them 70 to 80% of the student population.
Okay. And our high school numbers are better than most high schools.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Even with the changes in the healthy school back.
That's correct. And our breakfast, free breakfast has increased quite a bit since we started to do free breakfast, which has been a really good thing, I think, because the real reason why I wanted to pursue that was so that our kids that are on low economic status have other peers with them that are on the same level. That used to be, it used to be actually pretty common to hear a student say only poor kids eat breakfast at school. That's not the case in Logan. So,
yeah. So what would their numbers be for breakfast?
What are they right now?
Yeah.
The middle school and high school average about 200 students a day. Woodruff and Bridger are about 200, and the other schools are about 100 to 150. The biggest schools that saw increases were the middle school, high school, and Bridger.
Okay.
They saw the biggest increases when we went to free. Okay. And that's something I hope we can continue to do. With regulations don't change, I plan on keeping.
My kids all wanted to go when it was French toast day.
And maybe with our later start, we'll get more students at breakfast. That's another thing we should monitor, if the later start encourages more kids to eat.
I would be curious on that. That would be good. Yeah, breakfast is really important. I mean, it gives kids an opportunity to have a meal at school that they may have done without or had minimal, if anything.
Okay.
So do you have any reason to believe that school lunch participation at the high school has gone down since we went away from the hour-long lunch at the high school?
When we did one-hour lunch?
Yeah.
Has it changed? It really hasn't changed much.
It hasn't changed any.
It's remained about the same. It's not where it was when we switched. We were hovering in the mid-900s, and we're in the 750 to 850. I don't know the reason why that it hasn't rebounded.
Oh, interesting.
I think it will with the new cafeteria. The new cafeteria is in an awesome spot of the school that will be well-received by students.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. All right, any other questions for Paul?
I just have a question about, like, what is our, as a school district, what is our policy for when students are unable to, like, for late payment or with their parents, or what is that policy? I just know it's been in the news recently.
That policy is on our website.
Okay.
And I created that policy.
Okay. We have a policy. I will go.
There
you
is a
might
policy.
Want to say for the people who are here, for the public. We don't turn children away.
We don't turn children away. Our elementary students, they can, we work with a collections company and with parents. They receive two notices from us before it goes to collections. And then it goes to collections, and the high school, middle school students can charge up to $20. And then it's a similar collections agency.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
That's all on our policy.
And it's on the website. Perfect.
And I'm grateful we won't ever hit the news on that capacity, so that's very nice. Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions for Paul about the raising school lunch prices?
I have a question. Are other school districts raising theirs also?
I do not monitor as far as when they do. I do know that we're one of the lower. I think we're 10 cents less than cash school districts in Buffalo there are presently.
So we're already low.
We're within, yeah, we're already lower. The lowest school district, I believe, that charges is Ogden's because they started at a lot lower tier than where we did. We do, most of the school districts are raising lunch prices about every other year. A couple of them raised in a 50-cent increment, so they don't have to do it every other year. I don't think that's a wise thing to do personally. I like 10 cents. As we've been doing this for the last 6 years, I haven't seen heard a complaint because it's done in such a small interval. I don't think it's felt as much.
All right. It's unfortunate. I don't think we really want to raise school lunch prices. It's not something we want to do.
Because Paul manages it so well, we really wouldn't need to if the federal government didn't make us.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, all right. So knowing that, and I don't see any other questions for Paul, correct? Do you have any other questions? All right. I would entertain a motion then to raise school lunch prices for the 2017-18 school year, as described in our board information.
I would so move.
All right. Okay. Motion's been made by Connie and seconded by, I'm sorry, motion's made by Ann, seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. School lunch prices will raise 10 cents for the 2017-18 school year and until Paul comes back and reevaluates the situation.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul. It might be kind of nice to have an update on school lunch in the future. We should add that to our agenda just to talk about numbers and participation in school lunch. I think something board members might be interested in knowing. All right. We're going to have action now on the third reading of the firearms and dangerous weapons policy. Superintendent.
Thank you. So as was stated, this is the third reading of the firearms or dangerous weapons policy. You have the most recent draft in your board book packet. As you'll see, the only changes that have taken place are some wording to bring into compliance or to reference House Bill 198, which came out of our most recent legislative session and was related to a provisional concealed firearms carry permit for individuals under 21 years of age. You'll see that referenced at the top section, and then it simply states that a person under the age in line 4.4, a person under the age of 21 with a permit of any kind to carry a concealed firearm may not carry a concealed firearm on or about school premises, and that is part of the legislation. It's language directly from the law. So then you just see that the only change in numbering is the statement that violation of this policy is violation of the law moves to 4.5. So those are the only changes to the policy from our last reading. I'd be happy to entertain any questions or discussion regarding this change or anything else that you've thought about since our last discussion. Okay, if there are no questions, we would just present this to the board for determination whether to move it to a fourth reading, or since we have reviewed it three times now in board meeting, if we're at the point where we feel ready to adopt it.
I would move that we accept it on the third reading, accept it as it is.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion on the floor made by Connie to accept the firearm or dangerous weapons policy. And the motion was seconded by Jenny. I do have a quick question. Is this a replacement for an existing policy that we need to, a brand new? Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we weren't replacing. All right, any other questions for Superintendent concerning this policy?
We haven't got a firm number on it yet, but that will change. We got to work on a firm number where it's really going to go. And other than that, it's ready.
So will the numbering affect, that won't affect the motion, correct?
No, the numbering doesn't affect the motion at all. It's just where we put it on the website.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion and a second on the table. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The firearms or dangerous weapons policy passes on the third reading.
It feels like it's taken a long time to get to that point, so I'm grateful that we finally got that approved and done. We'll now move on to our discussion items, which is the review of school land trust plans. Superintendent.
Thank you. For this portion of the meeting, just a quick review. The responsibility of the Board of Education regarding school land trust plans is primarily to ensure that the plans are in compliance with the law and that appropriate processes have been followed at each school site. The development of the plan and the initial approval of the plan, of course, is the responsibility of the building principal and the school community council. Those plans are then brought to the Board of Education before they are submitted to the State Land Trust Administration. So what we will be doing, you've had a chance to look at each school's plans, review them. You've been able to give feedback on your rubrics. You will note your rubrics are not all in Board Book. The reason for that is we receive them in a number of different formats, and with spring break there was some challenges in getting all of that into Board Book in time. But you do have the copies of the plans, either your hard copies or the hard copies or the print copies that are in Board Book. So I'd encourage you to reference those if you have need. What we could do, obviously we could discuss a number of things as part of this and go into a great bit of detail. To help us remain focused on what the role of the board is, what I would like to do is, first of all, just go through and have each board member take 1 to 2 minutes and share general impressions of patterns that they saw as they looked at the school plans as a whole. Things that stood out either in terms of process or content. Then have everyone give everyone an opportunity to share any specific positive feedback they have from the plans. And then finally, if there are some specific questions about the process that schools followed, how goals were developed, et cetera, it would be an appropriate time to ask some of those questions so we can gather that information and bring it back to the board. As we've stated before, tonight is not a time for the final approval by the board. This is a discussion, so if there are pieces of information that you would like in addition to what has already been shared with you, we'll compile that, we'll gather that information from the principals, bring that back to the board before the final approval. So tonight really is just if you have either positive feedback or if there are questions about process that was followed, how certain goals were identified as being the most relevant goals for the school, we can gather that information and bring that back before final approval takes place. So are there any concerns with moving through it in that way?
Remind us what we're doing with this first round through.
So this first round through, what you are simply sharing is each board member will just go down the line and share overall impressions, patterns that you identified as you were looking at the plans. If there are things that stood out, just overall as you look at it from a district lens as opposed to an evaluation of each individual school. So if we'd like to start at that end, and we can just work this way.
Okay.
Or I can talk a little bit longer.
Okay.
Lisa, would you start for us?
Yeah. There you go. That's better. Thank you. I was generally pleased looking through the plans. I feel like they're much more they've become much more focused, and they were fairly clear on overall, fairly clear on the goals, what their goals were, how they wanted to achieve them, and ways to measure that achievement. I'm speaking generally, overall. I think that we're learning to put much better plans, much better focused plans together than in the past. The process is improving, and I think that a lot of the training that's been being done from the district level is helping community council presidents and principals have a better vision of what they are to do with their plans. We still have work to do, and but I think in general the overall process has gotten better, and they actually have measurable data that we can look at it and see what they're trying to measure and ways that they can measure it during the school year to make sure that they're having progress on them. They're, things aren't as vague as they used to be. So I think we definitely have made progress in our process. So.
Okay, thank you. And I'll be, as you speak, I'll be taking notes here so we can share those with the principals. Thank you.
I can't ever hear you when you speak at random. I don't know. If I repeat something that you said, I will apologize. I did hear you say, and I agree with Lisa about the positiveness of it, and it was obvious that a lot of hard work went into this. My first and most worrisome one is that I don't like the rubric that we're using. I don't think it really, it gets at sometimes the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law gets lost. Does that make sense? I'll explain it. There doesn't seem to be a place like, this is what mine looks like, Frank. There's not enough room to answer what I think are substantive kinds of questions. We'll start with this concern. Do you understand how each goal addresses the greatest academic need? And I understand all their goals, but then we didn't have any data in front of us to say this does address their greatest academic need. So my answers on all those would have been yes, no. I get the goal, but I don't know if it's their greatest one. Obviously, they think it is. But if you're asking us to say whether it is or not, we would need to have some sort of data in front of us that says we have a reading goal because we only have 10% of our students reading at grade level. And I didn't even find that in most of the narratives. So that was maybe even like a two-part question. Another concern was on the signatures page, there were so many that were just pending. So when the signature pages were pending for the name, I asked myself whether or not they participated, or maybe they participated and didn't vote, or maybe they didn't participate and didn't vote. You know, so if you have like seven people on the community council and five of those people's signatures aren't on there, it makes me wonder why they aren't on there. You know, we had talked about that before. The narratives were very good on part of some of the principles. And I don't know if you want me to go specifically. I'm not going to get that detailed in it because you do have, you know, the copy of what we have. There were a lot of principles who were very, very, very explanatory about how, two people at least, how they participated with the community council to come to the goals that they did. And all of the rest of them, I didn't see any statement about how they met, what they did, how they discussed, and how they came to their conclusion, which is one of the questions there pertaining to the involvement of the SCC in the development of the SIP, or the IEP and the ABC and the, anyhow, the school improvement plan for. Sometimes my concern also was that the how a goal would be achieved. And I know that there were several of us that had, and I'll let Ann state it because she was the one who brought it to my attention. Okay, I'll let that be yours. And so, anyhow, the other one is that when they talk about measurable outcomes, everybody was able to state very well, and I was really pleased with how they were measuring things throughout the year and how they would measure it at the end of the year. But then that next step that you ask on the rubric, so now what for 2018-2019? And I did not see that on any of the reports. Now, that sounds like a whole lot of negative, and I apologize if it does, but those are the questions that you have on here. I ended up putting a lot of question marks on there because I wasn't quite sure what the question was always meaning. Anyhow, and I know a couple of us were discussing the same. I think I've said enough. Okay. Thank you, but I appreciate the work that went into that, and appreciate Ken at the high school going through and doing a amendment. But that is, there are some concerns with the high school goals, and go ahead.
If I could just go on so everyone can hear this. Stacy, would you explain briefly, and Jeff, would you hand her your microphone? Stacy will talk about the pending members part on the signature sheet. Because that is a relatively new development.
So the principal has to send an email to every one of their members, and then they have to approve or deny the plan. A lot of them didn't know that step early on, and so they didn't click send the email. So even though they had everybody in there, they didn't hit that one step. So I reminded them all to do that, so the email goes out, and now it's up to the person to actually open the email and read it and either accept or deny. But they have to go through and choose one of those. So the principal or the secretary has to hound every member in there and get them to choose one of them. And if they have any that deny it, they have to explain why they denied it.
And so I know that's what it said about explaining. So yes. None of these would be, without an explanation, would be sent to the state without without either.
I won't approve the final one until all of those say accept,
right,
or they give me.
They will
reason.
Have all of them.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So before I send it in, I will make sure they have everything in there before I ever tell the state they're good to go. So, does that make
sense?
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ann.
I know how much Stacy loves to speak in board meeting. I can't tell us, but there I am on these. I agree that we need a process to develop a different rubric. Many of the questions that we ask in this rubric, and we did approve this rubric, but if you don't have the plans in front of you with the rubric, I think right now would be a great time to assign a couple of people to develop a new rubric from what information we receive from the plans. Yeah. Because many of the questions we are not able to answer from the plan information we received, which is what the state has on their website, and so because we can't control that. I, too, am pleased with the plans. I believe that more of our schools and their councils understand their role. I am concerned in at least one case that the numbers still... I had Stacy print things off for me because I couldn't read everything on the rubric, and in the one school, the numbers were really strange. Even when they were printed off, they were strange. And so if we can work at the one school, I would not at this point, if we were approved because the numbers aren't accurate numbers. They're all zero. And so I can't tell whether it's following or not. And I'm glad we're looking at these now, because there are some issues like that I know part of that is, and there are a lot of typos, and I believe, again, it's the cumbersome nature of the online program, because you can't just go in and oop and do a spell check or something, it appears.
Well, it just says it drops.
It drops letters.
One of the things we noticed is when we go in and we view the plans online, there, all of the information is there, the spelling is accurate, et cetera, for some reason, and this has happened repeatedly, and we're not sure why, because we've tried the download and we've tried the printing directly, and for some reason, on some of them, it picks certain letters that it just continually,
like all the X's are gone.
It continually creates the typos, there are certain words that were left out, and we haven't been able to figure that out. So
do we need to change to a link to plans online?
Stacy and I, we're going to be talking about that and saying, okay, how do we clean this part out or clean this part up in terms of the information we pass on to the board? This is the first year that I recall those typos ever being an issue from the system. So we're really not sure what caused it this year. But that did make it more difficult to read the plans.
Frank, what if you did something like how we did the evaluations or the determinations for excellence. How's that?
It's a state program, yeah, the
problem.
It's
a state's program.
This is a brand new website for the state. They rebuilt the website, so that might be part of it.
And on the email, but then on the board book, it has all the numbers in. So the one you're talking about has, they have zero.
I never had any numbers on theirs. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there are a couple schools. It just randomly
drops numbers.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me a minute to, like, it helps to know how you guys are reviewing things where this is my first year. So coming from doing a couple years on being on the land trust, you know, committee at the high school, I think this process is much more helpful than it was in previous years, just because I think it gives you a lot more of a specific way of breaking down the idea and the plans and how to set goals, how to create the steps and the measures, how to reach them. And as a committee, and you come in as a public person and have been able to see the data, look at it as a school, and as an outside person, if you don't have that, I think being able to see it, have it set up, have the process brought before you as a person, you know, from an outside, it was a lot more helpful than it was the first year I came in. It was a lot more helpful. So I think the process, we're getting there. I think it was a lot more helpful. I think we're getting there. It's working. One thing, too, that I noticed that a lot of them, one question that was asked was why did you have excess money from the year before? Most of them didn't state why. I mean, I think a lot of us know why, but it didn't state why. Another one was, that a lot of them were very focused on just one or two goals. But this money asks and is needs to be used for, like, the whole student body. And I think you can have that money meet or deliver or meet more than just one set of students within that multiple demographics in the school, and still have a goal that can still meet multiple, all the kids in the school within different ways. I don't know. Does that make sense? Without using all of your funds for a fourth of the kids in the school. Some of them figured out a way how to meet that, and some didn't. So that was one or two of my concerns. I think a lot of them have done a good job at looking at what are our greatest need and how do we do that and think it through. And so it's good. So I think they're getting there. I think it's just reviewing it and looking at it and having multiple eyes look at it in different ways is always really helpful. And I think that's the process that we're helping them do. So.
Good. Yes, I'm not having anything. Could I ask a question? I think Christy. Do the people on the community council know that this is the rubric on which we are judging them?
Yes, and you two say no.
The community council members and the principals have been shown that these are the questions that the board looks at as we evaluate the plans. Those were shared in the last community council training we conducted.
Because, like, you know, Jenny said, for example, I have, is there a reason given for the carryover?
But there's not a place on the form to put it.
There's not a place on here to fill that out.
Right. But it's on the rubric, and so you have to go no. And there are a couple of others like that. I mean, I'm not going to go through and pick them all out, but when we sit down and review this.
This is a process for us, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know, this was a starting, jumping off point on this rubric for us, and now that we're getting more into the process, it's a chance for us to now refine and say, some of these things are good, what things are really valuable to us and which aren't, and we'll refine our rubric.
Ann and I were both saying about having a different rubric, and based on all of the questions that we're bringing up and that we're asking, and that whatever the, you know, when we look at those plans and we look at this and we say, oh, everything doesn't match, I'm looking forward to us discussing this and coming up with something.
It's just, it's a new process.
Well, I know that. I'm not complaining. That's not a complaint. Yeah, it's just part of the discussion saying,
just like all the councils need training, we need training on, you know, this whole process, too, because it's new to us to be evaluating.
Will we be able to find some time, Christy, to sit down, Christy and Frank, where we develop something that works better for us?
I think the critical thing is that, in my mind, the rubric is a part of our responsibility, but it's not the responsibility.
Okay.
What we're using the rubric for is to funnel information to Frank about what he needs to address with our. So we're using it as a tool. The rubric isn't part of law. It's not part of, you know, it's just a tool for us to use to get him the information in a consistent manner. So I think moving forward, we'd probably want to readdress to make the rubric a little bit more user-friendly for us to be able to get the information that we need off the plan so that we can funnel the correct information to Frank. Because it's not, and Stacy, because they're not trying to make it difficult.
I know.
They're trying to make it, you know, easier for us. But I think that we'll need to modify the rubric just so that it's a little bit more. So you can look at the thing and answer the question based on the materials that you've been given.
My questions are not a complaint. It's just part of the discussion because I'm not happy with what I could do in answering this. I wish that I could have given better responses to Frank. That's all I'm saying.
Anne? On that, I was wondering, I know that they submit their plans via the state outline.
Right.
Would there be a possibility that there is perhaps, I'll use the word cover sheet for lack of a better term, that they fill out for us that says, from the numbers Jeff has given us, with the most current numbers, this is how much money from the last plan, this is how much money we've used, the reason we have a carryover is this, this is how, because that is not in the state form. And so for us to be able to answer that, which is a really important question that we are asked by the state, but there's no place on their form for them to put that in. And so we either need to not ask that question, even though we're supposed to ask that question, but it's because it's not in the state form, we need to have a different vehicle to ask some of these questions, such as, when did your community council meet and discuss this plan? Has there been good buy-in? I think some of the things we had responded the last time when the principals were here, we met. This is how we worked out some compromises so that we reach all of the students, not just one quarter of the student. But to me, knowing that this is a state plan and that they're not going to listen to Logan City School District and modify it probably, is there a way for us to have a separate sheet that is also filled out and turned in? That might take care of the issue.
Like, I hated writing no for something that they should have written yes, but they didn't have it on their form to give it to me.
But they're not going to get that information. It's just going to Stacy and Frank. So it's just funneling the information to them. They're not going to pass that information on to this. I mean, Frank will compile a list of concerns based on what we got that he can address with the principals, but they're not going to funnel all of our comments to the principals, correct?
Correct.
Specifically, if it's a general concern, then that you'll address that. But there won't be a list that says, there's Connie's concerns, here's Anne's.
No, I know that. And I'm not saying that.
No,
I'm thinking just what you said, Frank, that you take our stuff and you look at it and you provide feedback. That's all. And I think what Anne and I are trying to say is that we don't think that the rubric gives us a chance to give the real answer because
For me, it's not the rubric, Connie, that's the problem. There are some issues, but it's more the form they use and the rubric we use.
We're not getting
do not correlate. Right. And so we need to decide what information needs to be additional to what's in the state form.
They don't go together. How's that?
That's
And we already have the form that does that. The school improvement plan template has the information that you mentioned that's not on the state form. So we already have that, and we have that information. What we'll do is we'll compile that and put that together for you, because that's all already been collected, and that can provide some clarification. Because if you'll recall, this rubric was designed to accompany that form. And it does have that. So what we did is, where the website has changed, there's some additional features with the printing. We were trying to make those coordinate. We can get that additional information to help clarify that.
There's a lot of work that went into what the principals and the community councils did. When I start reading their goals and their measures and how they do it throughout the year, I was amazed at how well they were done.
All right, that said, I'm going to give my comments. I was grateful to actually read the plans. I felt like it was great that a lot of them thought outside the box and really came up with some great ways to spend their land trust money. I think it's great when they include the arts in that as well. Several schools had an art component to that, and certainly having... And one of the schools even tied the art teacher developing dancing curriculum with their teachers in the classroom. I thought that was a wonderful idea to really emphasize classroom instruction through dance. I thought that was, you know, we had a science component. So they weren't just, usually oftentimes they focus on literacy and numeracy, but it felt like there was a little bit, they're just kind of branching out a bit, so that was refreshing. I really appreciated that they did take so much time in getting those to us, and I know it's got to be very difficult. I'm grateful for Jeff trying to really finalize and give them the opportunity to know their balances and know their budget so that we can really monitor that better in the future as we, you know, because it's kind of been a moving target, so it'll be nice to have that target, you know, narrowed down. I'd like my fellow board members felt like the rubric was a little challenging, but I feel like, once again, that's just an avenue to get frank information, and we'll obviously look at that in the future to make that simplified for us as we review those plans. The thing that probably concerned me the most, and we've talked about it over and over again, are carryover balances. And with my training from the state, and we've all had that training from the state, I can't emphasize how critical it is that they spend their money that they're given in a timely manner. And we've said that, we've really had that communication with them in the past, and it just feels like it's a perpetual problem in some cases. So I don't know if we need to, in the future, I'm not sure exactly how to solve that. I mean, it's kind of frustrating to have to tell people to spend money. You know, we want you to spend your money. Right. But it's really unfair to the students that are in the system at the time for monies to be carried over from year to year to year. I mean, it really needs to be spent on the kids that are in the system at the time the money's given. So if we can really address those carryover balances to make sure, and I understand that some of those carryover balances are based on employing, you know, extra people, and sometimes they're difficult to hire. But certainly they need to be aware of that as they go down the year to make sure that those balances, when they come to us, aren't. Because it would be tragic if we had money taken away because we didn't spend our money. I mean, it's a serious issue. So really that's the only major concern I had, besides just the other little things that have been mentioned.
And that's definitely something that Jeff has been working on a great deal. He's developed a spreadsheet now for the principals to use with their office staff. So as they create their plans and project out their expenditures, they can then go in real time, go into ALEO, identify what expenditures have gone through, what money has been spent. If they have an individual who is hired late in the year or leaves earlier than intended, they can make that adjustment on the sheet and see what that's going to do to their carryover, so they can identify in a more timely manner if there is a need to make an amendment to the plan, if they need to make some adjustments. Our principals understand that, and they are trying to keep track of it. The challenge with land trust has often just been the accounting and how it comes to the district and keeping track of that. And it has been stated, you know, many of us are aware one of the challenges is also when a majority of the land trust funds are used for part-time temporary personnel, that can create some real challenges in monitoring and managing the spending. So we do have principals looking at other ways to spend the money that still accomplish the goals of the school, ways that are a little bit more under the control of the school and not dependent on people's work schedules and are they available to be at the school, et cetera. And Jeff is trying to get more information to them in a more timely manner so they can make those adjustments.
It was a quick question. I know that the way that the land trust money is spent kind of is a slightly different process, like even just when you buy product, like if they order a projector or, you know, something like that. Is there a way, because I know at the high school there was some confusion of even requesting the funds that teachers didn't understand. Is there a way of even printing up or even it may just be educating some of the staff or the administration or something of how that process is done and how those funds are spent? If there's just because it's somehow some of that stuff is ordered differently, of just even how the PO is sent through or different things or how it's spent. Sometimes is it just that it's put on a credit card, the school credit card, or because that kind of delayed how things got ordered and how things got spent and money and how teachers requested those products, and that kind of delayed money getting spent and processed with some things.
Yeah, I think the principal is probably the key person, and we probably just need to reinforce the principals that they, when those are approved, they need to do the ordering, because I think that's probably what it was. You had teachers that they weren't sure whether they were supposed to order, and it was a situation where a principal was leaving and a new principal was coming in. So I think that that was part of it, but I think typically that's what happened. The principals, once the plans are approved, and they take over the ordering of things, and so I think that's probably the main thing that happened in that situation. She had a principal that was
left,
a new principal came in, and so in the interim, things didn't get ordered. But typically, the principals will, or through their secretaries, but they're the ones that are responsible then for saying, okay, this is part of our plan, and then they lay out who orders it and how it gets ordered. And so I think, you know, those teachers were like, you know, the new school year started, they didn't have the stuff they needed, and they said, well, it was approved in our plan last year, and didn't somebody order it? And
so that was
I think that was because,
yeah, most of the time
a principal was leaving and another one coming in, and I got lost in the shuffle.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
But the general process for purchasing is the same with land trust as it is with any other funding source. It's just making sure that the expenditure is coded to the right budget.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that feedback, and we'll definitely, Stacy and I will sit through and go through the plans again, and we'll share that feedback with the principals as well. Are there other items that we need to get to take back to the principals?
The only question a specific question for the high school is that why is there a mention of any goal that deals with South Campus?
There is or there isn't.
There wasn't.
Pardon?
There wasn't, was there?
Oh, yeah. If you look at their adjusted, plan, the term South Campus is used several times.
I don't see it.
Is that the amendment or in this
right,
one?
The amendment. Oh,
okay, so it's not in this
for this year.
Their amendment for this year that we approved last meeting, not in this.
Okay.
So the amendment for this year would be because the transition hasn't taken place yet. In next year's plan, it shouldn't show up because then the transition will have occurred.
I just want to make sure that we focus on meeting needs of all students and not just subsets. Because I know a couple of the plans really, they're very focused, but I feel like they're kind of targeted towards one specific student population and not very much addressing needs of a lot of students. And I know we kind of discussed this. Do you want specifics of which school I'm...
No, we can. Okay. We'll take that in.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're being aware of needs of all students and not just small subsets.
I agree with Lisa, because today, like, even when we talked with the students, we referred to when the South Campus kids come over, as if there is some whole separate little ball that's going to kind of roll over.
Okay, thank you. Any others?
I guess just my one more thing was some of the plans are a little still, like we just talked about, heavy on the instructional aides. And that's been hard to hire in the past, and so I don't want their plans totally dependent on being able to hire aides.
That was one of my notes that I put here. If you have not been able to hire aides year after year after year, why do you have aides as the bulk of your plan?
Again.
Yes, again. Yeah. And so, you know, that the reason they had carryover, they weren't able to hire aides. Then you need to rethink it. Is this a specialist who has more hours because it's a science specialist instead of an aide? You know, I think, as someone mentioned, thinking out of the box and not just saying we're just going to hire aides. I liked that at the high school it was an entire program they were looking at helping fund that were more, you know, and that they included, if you hire more than an aide, you have to include the retirement, the Social Security, and all of that. And it's a big deal anytime you hire, but just to keep doing the same thing over and over is not a wise choice.
Spirit and letter.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, I will work with Stacy. We'll get those compiled, and then we will share those with the principals in addition to the feedback on your rubric so we can get those adjustments made before our next board meeting, which is when they will be presented for your approval. Thank you.
All right, thank you, board members. once again, I think that was... it's exciting to be able to read the trust lands or the land trust and to at least know that the community councils are working on their goals and really focusing on student achievement. For the most part, I think it's exciting. It really is exciting, and I'm grateful that they're willing to account for that because it is a significant amount of money. So we want to make sure that we're spending it wisely. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Stacy. I know you've worked a lot on those, and we appreciate your help with those. And for Jeff for designing the program to be able to account for that as well. We're grateful for that as well. And, of course, to superintendent for wrangling us all in and getting us all on the same page. So thank you very much. We missed our presentation or our report from our LEA Association. Is it okay, board members, if we allow her time to have her report now?
Sure.
All right. I got a nod head from all of them. It was an official vote, but... We will go ahead now and have a report from our Logan Education Association President Papernick.
Okay. I apologize, I was late. Because spring break last week, we had our association, our representative assembly today, so I came straight from that meeting to here, and that's why I was late. Two things I really wanted to tell you about. Next week, we're having our LEA Education Week, and we have got flyers to stick in every single teacher's mailbox this week, along with like a little treat that we're going to say, this is what LEA does for teachers. And we want to just kind of let them know that LEA is the official voice of teachers in the Logan City School District, and that the concerns and comments and the voice actually comes through the association. So we want to just get that out to all teachers. So we're going to kind of push that next week. So hopefully teachers in all of our district will be getting little things about that every single day in their mailbox. We've got some stuff that's come to the district office too, so you might see some of the district office stuff too. Second thing I really wanted to let you know about, really big deal, Kathy Sherman, one of our teachers in LEA, she has been, she's the recipient of this award called Excellence in Teaching. I don't know if you've heard about this, but she just won this Excellence in Teaching Award. UEA gives this award to 10 educators across the state of Utah. And Kathy Sherman, one of our teachers, is one of those 10 recipients. So it's a big deal. It's really cool. On May 19th, there's going to be a Superstars in Education banquet that honors these 10 teachers.
KUED does a little video blurb on each of these teachers and does like a video vignette thing on them. And they also have KeyBank, I think, gives them $1,000. So it's kind of, it's a big deal. And this is this recognition. LEA is going to purchase a table that we can have some representation from our district at that banquet on May 19th. So if that's something that you're interested in, just contact one of us and we can even kind of let you know. I know we might have about six tables, chairs at the table. We thought it would be nice to have some representation there, as well as Annette Peterson, who's the teacher that nominated her. Kathy Sherman, I know, was here earlier in the year, and she presented about all her ESL stuff she was doing with these new refugees coming in, and that's pretty much what her little vignette thing's going to probably be about, is the amazing things she's done to help our ESL and refugee population. So, very cool. UEA has, it's called Excellence in Education, but I just wanted to make sure you knew about those two things. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and we'll make sure we recognize Kathy in a future board meeting. That's pretty impressive. She's an amazing teacher, so thank you very much for that. All right, we'll now go into our reports. We've got reports from board members. We'll start with Jenny.
Let's see, what have we done? Sorry. I just, today particularly, I thought was really exciting, the student body officers. Just seeing their ideas and the new structure of the student body officers, I thought was a great new vision, and the new inclusiveness and ideas and the new positions, I think was really exciting. And I'm excited to see just their new ideas with a brand new high school is going to be really exciting. And I'm very excited for that. I also had some, I've been down to a Wilton school a few times and just been down volunteering there. It's been exciting to just see, walk around the school down there. Been really fun. Been down to the middle school a few times, and there's just some exciting things going on. What else have we been doing? Just with spring break and stuff, we've kind of been off and not doing as much as we have. So I just appreciate what you guys do, what the teachers have been doing. We have some fantastic teachers in this district and the things that they do for our students, and it's just really fun to see how much our the students grow in a year. I got an email today from one of my son's teachers talking about how Principal Guyman was just reiterating the dress code of the middle school, and it was really cute how they said how much your students grow, and to check their clothing because your students grow so much. And it was just a really novel and cute way to just reiterate that maybe their clothes have changed. Their shorts, maybe they've outgrown their shorts from the fall to the spring, and to pull them out and maybe check them. It was just a really cute way to, you know, address that instead of a stern way. So I just really appreciated that approach. And it was a really nice email. And so I appreciate the personal contacts that all those teachers do and reach out. So just wanted to say that. Thanks to the teachers.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jenny. Anne.
Great to have spring break. And for those of you who don't know, they were able to remove a lot of asbestos from Logan High during spring break. We appreciate from the waiver we received from the state office that we didn't have to go to school last week, and we were able to get a lot done at Logan High because of that. At our USBA regional meeting was a good meeting. One of my questions is, we received an email from Terry Rhodes regarding her trainings, and she had some specific questions for our district. Christy, are you going to be answering that? One of them looked like it was more of a frank answer. I just thought rather than all of us answering her email, I would hope that you would answer it. And
I saw that, but I haven't looked
okay
at it. So
well,
Did she send it to you, Frank?
I haven't.
So I'm going to assume that you two are going to answer all of those questions.
We'll answer all those questions.
Because I did say thank you to her, because it's nice to know what happens in those meetings. it was very nice to have an update on legislative issues and other things from USBA. But that email, if you will respond to that, it would be great. And it's amazing how close it is to the end of the school year, and just appreciate all that our staff does at all levels. Just, we have amazing, amazing staff, as well as we saw today, amazing students. And it is exciting to see those changes in structure of student government at Logan High, so much more inclusive and giving kids individual responsibilities, I think is really great.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Ann. Connie?
Same thing Ann said. I think, you know, we have had a lot of very good press, newspaper-wise, Facebook, social media, and KSL. It was so neat to be watching, and all of a sudden there's Emma Cardin, you know, for the Sterling Scholar. You know, Alex Lambert, and then the article about Ethan Frainer, who's a Logan High graduate, who's actually an assistant professor while he's still going to school. He has so many credits, but that's a Logan High grad. And I think all of those things, you know, it shows that we are a STEM school, an arts district, a STEM early college, and that we have all of the programs that any specialized charter school would say that they have. And that's one of the things, Frank, that you talked about, is that we need to publicize, we need to make sure people know whatever they want, we have it here. So, listening to the students today, and I think we all concluded, the students will be the ones who sell it, because they were also very positive. And when the students said, I came here because of the AP, because of the programs, because of the resources, and again, the inclusiveness. And they're not just talking about inclusiveness, like usually the term is used when we're talking about including special ed students or students with disabilities, disadvantaged students. They're talking about every single, the whole school, okay? They aren't just picking out groups. They are saying we're a very diverse school and everybody needs to be involved. One of the things that I am so impressed with is the trust lands, okay? I don't know how many of you were on the board were alive in the 90s.
I was the PTA
person. I know
Ann
was, but Ann, you remember the fight that UEA and some of the other PTAs, right, took to the state because they were selling state mineral rights and state land for a buck, you know, instead of $450 million. And so there was a big lawsuit and everything going on, and that's why the community councils get this money. And I remember, when the money did not even exist, and that community councils didn't exist. So first of all, you get all this money, so how do you use it? So the community councils came in, and it's been nice to watch that progress go. It really has. And fabulous students, and appreciate working with everybody on the board. I'm just so impressed with everybody's work on this trust land funds. Good discussion.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Connie. Lisa.
Well, I think everybody's talked about the student elections, but it was really fun to go over and watch their videos and their speeches. We have some really creative students, and I think they're going to have a very fun, successful year. It's great that they have reorganized, and they are over specific categories now, because I think it gives them more motivation to really want to do something and make a difference with what they're doing. I mean, I know they're excited about doing service opportunities and getting people more involved in athletics out to some of the events. And I just was over at tennis, actually, and I granted it was against Ridgeline, but I have never seen quite so many people over at the tennis court. I also had the opportunity to attend both the middle and high school musical, and we have got some really talented students. And the high school production was written by students and helped produce. They had student directors, and they did have some help on their orchestra scoring from one of the parents, but I was really impressed with the middle school musical, too. It's come a long ways in the last few years from where it's been in the past. Melody has done a great job with those students, and I just think it's great that so many students can be involved, and we have some very talented students. And I just, overall, with between the musical and the SBO elections, I was just really impressed with the quality of students that we have.
So. Christy, I would like to add one more thing. I am glad that our superintendent is not living in Fillmore.
He's probably glad about that, too. So thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you for moving back home.
I had the chance also to go to the middle school musical. I think your son was in that, wasn't he? Okay, because I thought, why did Frank not know when the musical was when his son's in the musical? I thought that was odd when I saw the program. But anyway, the musical was delightful, like Lisa said, and the involvement of so many students was just delightful. She had a huge cast of students that were participating and just did some really, really cute things, so it was fun to be able to go there. I, too, went to the student body election speeches, and they were, like Lisa said, they're just very impressive, and I felt really heartbroken for those students that didn't win. That's a hard thing to do, to lose, you know, to put yourself out there and then lose. But it's, you know, part of life, I guess, when you run for an office like that. But it just was awesome to be able to go and see the board when I'd gone there earlier in the week, and to see the diversity and the opportunity for, you know, lots of students that participated and got to run. And it just kind of reflects the student body versus being so you know, leaning to one side. So it was great. Went to the teddy bear picnic at Wilson. And there's nothing like seeing kids get excited about eating picnic on the lunch or on a blanket on the floor. It just is really, you know, if you're ever feeling depressed and gloomy, just hit an elementary school. And they always just so happy, especially during lunchtime. So it was fun to be able to go and see those kids be all excited about. I just wish life was so easy that you just made you happy to sit there with your teddy bear on the blanket eating a sack lunch, but that was fun to be able to go to Wilson. As far as, I think that's all, I can't think of anything else. So, of course, the regional meetings were delightful to be at, and I think we learned a lot from USBA, and I'm grateful that they're able to provide that training for us so that we can get updated about legislative issues. And it feels like we fared fairly well from the legislative session, but one never knows, so keep our fingers crossed. All right. Let's see. Jeff has his report, and he's going to explain why the financial thing's not in our packet.
Okay. You'll notice that there is no financial report in the packet. That's because with spring break, we tried to get things to Stacy the week before board meeting on Thursday. I noticed, Stacy, that I did say we try to get that to you. But in this case, in order to do that, we would have had to get that to her on the 30th, and the month didn't end until the 31st. And so we're trying to close out a month and put together all the reports and everything else before the month is even ended. And so I talked to Lisa and Christy today because we got several other months where it only allows us 2 or 3 days to be able to get that report in before board meeting. And in the past, we've always done that on the second Tuesday. And with the change, it makes it very difficult in some months for us to get that out in time. So Christy and Lisa have accepted that it'll be okay for us to move that back to the second board meeting of every month to give us time to go to create those reports and go through them and make sure they're correct before board meeting. So that's why you don't have the financial reports. And I was commenting to Jenny earlier how I think this is probably the funnest school visit that I've been to this year with the SBOs. It was just fun to see their excitement and to see what's going on over there and the caliber of students that we have and their interest in other students and in the school and all of that. That was just really a fun meeting. We also had Scott Jones that came up and met with Dale Hansen and I. He's the BA for the State Office of Education of the State Board of Education. And he just wanted to reach out, see if there were things that they could do. And we really had some good conversations, asked a lot of good questions. It allowed us to ask him a lot of questions. And so I thought that was really good. And that was right before the regional meeting, which I thought that was good and enjoyed that as well. I didn't make it to the middle school. I feel bad about that, especially after all of you've said how good that production was. But I did make it to the high school, and I thought that was really good. They did a great job with that, and the fact that one of the students at Logan High wrote that was really quite amazing. I was really impressed with that.
I just talked to Scott Harris, and they recorded that. So if anybody wants to see it that didn't get to see it, that Scott said they did record it, and we'll have a recording available.
Yeah. But you had the full orchestra music and the whole, I mean, it's like a regular production, and so I was really impressed with that. Just wanted to recognize Teresa Hoag. She just had a Title I audit in the last couple of weeks, and I get to participate in these audits, it seems like, in most of them, but they were very complimentary, and my meeting, at least, with them went very well, and I understand that it went really well. I think Teresa was really nervous about that and concerned because it was her first Title I audit with this district, and so she had some concerns, but they did a really good job. And as part of that, I want to recognize Darlene von Niederhauser. She's an employee in our district that's just an unsung hero that just goes about and does work, and we've given her extra responsibilities because she does things so well. There's areas where we've had, difficult, some of the programs have had some difficulty in tracking funds and things like that, and we've asked her to step in to do some of that, and she's just done a terrific job with that, and I just wanted to recognize her in front of the board because she really is. She's one of those people that, I think oftentimes isn't recognized for the contribution that she makes to the district, and I wanted to make sure that she was recognized. Thanks.
I always want to get a shout out from Jeff because it comes from the heart. So we can all say something, but when you say it, it's like, boom. Anyway, thank you, Jeff, very much. And we agree, we have some amazing staff in this district. Superintendent.
Thank you. I'd like to start just building on the comment about Darlene, just briefly. I was, as many of you know, I was stuck in Fillmore for an extra day or two this past week due to a busted transmission. But it turns out that we had some grant forms that had to be submitted on Friday. And Darlene and I both received emails regarding it, and Jeff received some notification. And Darlene, on Thursday of spring break, was emailing me back and forth, contacting university personnel, making sure that everything was completed and in place so they could get a digital form put together and do a DocuSign, and I could sign it from Fillmore, and we could have everything in place. Darlene is tenacious. This isn't the best word, but she's a bulldog. And she will make sure if a task needs to get done, Darlene will make sure the task gets done. And she is a tremendous benefit to our district. I also want to give a shout-out to Melody Francis for the amazing work that she does with the middle school musical. Dayton did audition for the musical. He was going to participate in it, and then he and a couple of his friends decided that consistent rehearsals really weren't their thing. So he didn't end up participating in it. But we did receive a very nice note from his orthodontist telling him they really enjoyed seeing him in the play when they went to one of the performances. So he keeps that card as a reminder of he's apparently good enough to be recognized even when he's not there. The kid's got some skills. But the amazing thing about what Melody does is she's able to take such a large group of middle schoolers and put on a well-done production and does a fantastic job with that. Just a couple of upcoming things to report to you all on. Dave's Long's department has recently developed some guidelines for purchasing and maintaining technology at our schools. One of the conversations that we have had with our principals as one-to-one initiatives have grown, and there's been more of a focus on doing that at each of our schools. Dave and his department have been having discussions with principals on how we make sure that the number of devices we purchase remains within our ability to maintain over time. There are costs associated with devices that go beyond the simple purchasing of the device. We want to make sure there is a long-term maintenance and replacement plan. If we are using more Chromebooks, there are costs to ensure that the school has sufficient wireless access. They have enough access points throughout the building to facilitate the use of the devices. So Dave has been working, and he actually recently presented on this to a group of technology directors from across the state on the plan for maintaining an appropriate number of devices in the district commensurate with our budgets and with the resources that we have. I've asked him to share that with the board in our next meeting. So you're aware of that, and you're aware of what those guidelines are for principals as well. Also, in terms of the legislative session, on Monday and Tuesday of last week, I was down in St. George with the Superintendents Association, and we were with State Superintendent Sid Dixon and her staff reviewing kind of the outcomes of the legislature, both in terms of finances as well as the various behaviors and things that we will have to change and put in place based on legislation that was passed. For our next meeting in the work session, I will prepare a summary for you all. We won't hit all of the bills that passed, but what I'll try to do is focus on those that are most relevant and applicable to us. Of course, there were a number of education-related bills that don't affect us significantly, so we won't go into those, but I will try to give you a summary of the bills that have impacted or will impact our organization moving forward. And we'll try to, by that point, hopefully we'll have some more firm numbers in terms of what we're looking at in terms of budgets and finances moving forward as well. Finally, I just want to express how fortunate we are to be in the area that we are here in Cache Valley and the relationship that we have with Cache County School District. As the word spread across the state regarding our start times for next year and the stories that were written about that, I got to visit with some other districts. We, for example, Park City has been looking at doing something similar. They have some logistical issues that we do not have to deal with. You know, one, for example, is the size of their athletic region, ranging from the Uinta Basin to Tooele. Their students have to travel far greater distances to participate in activities. So there is a concern that if you move the school day significantly later, students are missing a greater percentage of class time in order to participate in extracurricular events. We are very fortunate next year that that's not going to be an issue for us because our region is here in Cache Valley with Cache County and Bear River High School. In Park City, they have to worry a great deal, especially during ski season, with about the amount of traffic that's on the main roads right at the time school is starting. So if you delay the start of school, and you're dealing with major rush hour traffic, especially with people trying to get up to the ski resorts during the winter, that can cause a significant amount of uncertainty with your bus schedules. We don't have to deal with that. So I had a radio interview with a Park City radio station this week where they were asking us questions about how did you do this and how did you deal with this issue, and repeatedly it came up to, well, we looked at that, but it really wasn't a major issue for us. That isn't a primary issue like it would be in Park City or some other communities. So I want to, you know, publicly express how grateful I am for the working relationship we have with Cache County District, to be able to work with Wayne Reese and the Transportation Department and identify what adjustments can be made in the transportation schedule that allowed us to make these shifts in our start times and ensure that students were still getting to school at a reasonable time and being taken care of. If we were in different scenarios or if we were trying to manage our own transportation fleet, that honestly would create a whole different set of difficulties, which because of that close working relationship, we don't have to deal with. So that was a great reminder this week of some of the opportunities that we and our students have here because of that relationship and because of our location. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. And I just want to express my appreciation to you all as well. It's wonderful to be able to work with you, and I'm grateful that for all the work that you do and for the ability that we have to work together as a team. It's wonderful to be able to be with you. Last thing we have on our agenda is the calendar items. The only thing that I really have is the Honor Society banquet. We got the email from Jen, which is April 17th. So if you're interested in going to that, please just respond to her email so that she knows that you're coming. And the Memorial Bridge celebration, do they have an email about that yet?
I haven't received
Logan Heights.
Don't know anything about that yet.
Okay, so just go ahead and put that on your calendars. It's April 21st at 5 o'clock, correct? 5 o'clock. It's the, we're not sure exactly what it will be, but it will be either the rededication of the Memorial Bridge at Logan High or a celebration of the Memorial Bridge at Logan High, one of the two. Just a short, Frank will fill us in.
We're actually going to let them move forward with a rededication of the bridge. They wanted to do this as part of the centennial celebration at the high school. It's a great event, and I think it's a fine gesture. As I visited with Don Bell, there is some work that needs to be done on that bridge, and it's going to be significant. There are, of course, the platform of the bridge needs some repair work. The walls of the bridge are not concrete. They are straight rock walls, and there has been a fair bit of deterioration that in order to repair it is going to require dismantling and then replacing probably with concrete walls and then a rock veneer. That will be an extensive project. It's something that Don is looking into prices. He's been talking with some different contractors about what that would involve and what the time frame would be. Because we don't have a set time frame for that, my recommendation to the high school is going to be go ahead and move forward with it being a rededication that allows it to remain the type of activity that the student body officers are wanting it to be. And then when we are ready to go in and do the repairs, we'll do so.
And then we'll rededicate it again. How's that?
Or just say, this is for this.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's April 21st at 5 o'clock. It's supposed to be just a half an hour long. It's a Friday evening. Superintendent, do you have anything else for calendar items? And I couldn't think of me either.
Breakfast
so
breakfast tomorrow morning.
Oh, breakfast tomorrow morning. That's right. At 8.
Yeah. Be here at 8 o'clock. We'll start serving breakfast at 8:20.
Okay. So that would be great here, just in the
breakfast
lunchroom or in the room behind us? Or in here?
Like, are we going to bring it out here? We'll probably bring it out here.
Okay. All right.
Be here at 8, right?
Be here at 8.
Be here at 8 o'clock. Bring your apron.
All right. Sounds fun. And Stacy will just let us know as we get closer to the end of the year what events are coming up. So there'll be lots of things going on between now and the end of May that, you know, plenty of opportunities for us to be in schools. The final thing is we just want to wish Connie happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Her birthday was yesterday, so we have a little treat in the... It's the break room, whatever the room is behind us. The break room
72
for you.
Donuts.
So,
just
I'm not
Saturday.
Well, we'll celebrate his next board meeting. So today we're celebrating Connie's, and we'll celebrate. We'll spread the cheer around a little bit. So happy birthday, Connie! Yesterday, happy birthday on Saturday to Jeff. He's born on tax day. That's right. And we'll have a celebration for him next time. So happy birthday to both of you. And at that, we will adjourn this board meeting at 6:35. Thanks to all of you for coming tonight.
And you need to run, Christy? It wasn't quite 6 o'clock.
I'll be right back now, but at least it's not.